You can see little Ace in the corner. Look at him.
Wait. Let me see. Oh, ha ha. Yeah.
What a little cutie.
Oh, that's nice.
Acey Poo, come here. Look.
That's real good.
Baby angel. Baby boy. You're my pride and joy.
How are you, Hava?
Oh, Meckle. Oh, Baruch Hashem. I got a new chair.
Yeah.
It's like a real office chair.
Yeah.
I just realized since I was spending like 40 hours a week in this chair that it was worth upgrading to a legitimate chair.
Can you imagine you saying that sentence 4 years ago when we started this pod?
No, definitely not.
40 hours a week, fancy chair, dog in the corner.
And yeah, I still feel like such a fragile, delicate creature. I mean, at the time that we started this pod, I was not a fragile creature. I was like a fully shattered creature.
And when we started the pod, we were dating.
Yes.
So that's my type, is a fully shattered. That's really...
Right. Although, I don't know. Grunge Girl seems to have
no, it
her shit together, so...
You know, I'm just trying to make it about me. That's all.
Right. I mean, I fixed you for her.
In
the neutering sense.
Yeah. Okay. I think we both fixed each other in the new
sense. No, we have been great, very healing friends for each other.
We have been very healing. That's true.
I love that we're just starting this episode off with the friendship positivity circle.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, so I have this new chair and it's like supporting my back and shit, which is great. You know, I'm having a good day. I'm really glad that it's warming up for spring. I'm like overwhelmed with the amount of work to do. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a moment of trying to, this is, feels so corny to say. I'm trying to like rediscover my passion this spring.
Okay. Well, what's your passion?
I mean, my passion for like text study. I mean, obviously like I love text study, but just like any long-term relationship, right? You go through moments that are more or less romantic, acutely speaking. Even though I love Talmud, I'm not always like... in a moment of passion with it.
Right.
And I'd like to cultivate that. So, you know, I'm going to take Talmud on like an island vacation, bring like some new toys, you know, maybe hook up with a third text. Talmud and I are opening our marriage.
You should start reading some Tosefta, you know, and, and telling the Talmud what it was like.
I've always been Tosefta curious.
Be careful, though, you know, these things are messy. I got some books I can recommend you to read.
But IDK, that's how I am. I feel like I've been working so much that when my boyfriend and I, my fiance and I, started dating, I was very much the one being supported. And now I work so much that it is more 50-50. / sometimes maybe even more so me being the supporter.
Mm.
Except his job provides our insurance, which is really, really important because of the doctor. But that's just a really weird dynamic for me. I have always been the one needing more support. So it's a very bizarre for me to have the shoe on the other foot.
Welcome to the club, baby. If Grunge Girl heard me say that, she'd be like, fuck you, that's not true. Which is, it isn't true.
It does kind of remind me of when my boyfriend and I started dating, I wasn't looking to get into a relationship. And I was like, oh, so this is what it feels like to be on the right side of the emotional patriarchy, to like need it less.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He was pushing harder. He laid it out for you. Yeah. He was like, look.
He did. He put it all on the line. And I was like, I'll think about it.
And then you went for it.
Mm-hmm. Thank God. It's been a relationship that has made my life better. So, Michael, how are you?
It's spring. It's good. I was cutting up firewood yesterday or the other day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's good. I still have to post the other pod. So, people, this week are getting a double pod.
Double pod.
But not because it's an extra pod. It's because you are past due a pod, people. So
I see. You're owed. A debt must be repaid.
Yeah. I've just been a fool. And the guilt has been eating me up, Hava. It really has. But it's silly. And we have a bunch of listener questions, too, that we just need to get to. So we haven't forgotten.
Oh, yeah.
About
and you
people.
Need to send them to me.
Yes. I need to send them to you. That's true.
Because I was supposed to have them for this week, but I did something completely different.
Yeah. We have a bunch of good listener questions. But look, we're only two people. And there's more than two of you. And... Mm-hmm. But keep sending them. We like them. We read every single one of them. and mm-hmm. we think about them and contemplate how to bring them. But yeah, I've been cutting up wood. I told you about the couch. Did I tell you about the couch on the pod?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about looking for a couch, and then you talked about how you had found a couch.
Yeah, well, today my parents are visiting us. Mm-hmm. And they're
judging your new couch.
Yeah.
Their grand couch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming to the couch's bris, where you finally cut off the slip cover.
I'm very excited to see what my mom's reaction is going to be to this couch. I'm just excited to see my mom's reaction to everything. It's so unpredictable. So unpredictable. It's like typing stuff into ChatGPT. It really right. is.
You never know what you're going to get.
So it's good. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, you know, it's spring. It feels good. It feels good.
Well, I feel like this is a very springy topic, so I'll just bring it. If you will recall on recent Hi, How Are You episode, Fox News.
Yes.
Incredible episode title, if I do say so myself.
Yes, it was
Although
good.
Although in retrospect, because it was about a fox and a fish, I should have called it Foxy Loxy.
Oh, wow.
But hindsight is 2020.
Wow.
I know, right? I know. That's I thought good. Of that, like, slowly falling asleep one night, like, ah, fuck, that was a perfect title. And then this
good.
One would have been called Fox News. But, you know, as we go on, we improve. Anyway, during that episode, I was like, maybe I'll do a whole series on foxes. Wouldn't that be fun? And so I'm doing it.
Oh, wow.
Because okay. I can, because that's what this pod is for. It's texts that, like, don't fit into any other containers in my life. I stuff them into this podcast.
Yeah, okay.
So we start out on this. A bunch of this stuff is going to be on Sanhedrin pages 38 and 39. We start out, and it's just like Rabbi Yochanan said, when Rabbi Meir would teach his lectures, he would teach one-third halakha, one-third agadah, and one-third parables. Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Meir had taught 300 parables of foxes.
Whoa.
But we have only three. AKA, like, we only, like, have a record of three. And they are the parables concerning the following verses. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge, which is from Ezekiel. Just balances and just weights from Leviticus. And the righteous is delivered out of trouble. The wicked comes in his stead, Proverbs 11. So, TLDR, Rabbi Meir was known for having a veritable encyclopedia of fox parables. And today we are going to hear one of them. One of them that actually covers two of these verses, interestingly enough. Also sort of interesting, like I always think of, I never have really spent very much time imagining, like, what were the lesson plans of the rabbis like in the academies, you know, in Yavna and shit like that? Like, how do they open? How do they choose what material to teach? Like, what was their pedagogy? But apparently, at least Rabbi Meir's pedagogy was like every day he would teach one third. And it was halacha agada, which is like story material, like
story time,
like stuff like the golden leg of the table or Koni Hamagel falling asleep under the carob tree, that kind of stuff. And then one third parables, which is like these fictional moral tales. So the one that we're talking about today is dealing with the verse from Ezekiel and the verse from Leviticus. So in Ezekiel, there's this verse in Ezekiel 18. What do you mean by quoting this proverb upon the soil of Israel? Parents eat sour grapes and their children's teeth are blunted. As I live, declares the sovereign God, this proverb shall no longer be current among you in Israel. Consider all lives are mine. The life of the parent and the life of the child are both mine. Only the person who sins shall die. So Ezekiel is just giving out this prophecy of God saying, don't say that people are getting punished for their ancestors' sins. I am only going to punish the person who does the thing. And that's something that you should know about me as a God.
Well, that's
the context of that verse.
That's nice. Okay.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was consistent. It's not.
No,
God
no.
seems to waffle on that point quite a bit. And then in Leviticus 19, we're just getting some halacha where God says, you shall have an honest balance and honest weights, an honest ephah and an honest hin, which are both weight measurements. For I am Hashem, your God, who freed you from the land of Egypt. Basically just like this is a thing, halacha for the Jewish people is you should have honest weights. You shouldn't be putting your thumb on the scale when you're selling flour. So those are the verses in their context. And here they are out of context in this weird parable that Rabbi Meir told us about a fox, which we actually get from Rashi on the same page.
Okay.
The fathers have eaten sour grapes. This is the parable. A fox once craftily induced a wolf to go and join the Jews in their Shabbat preparations and share in the festivities. And when he appeared in their midst, the Jews fell upon him with sticks and beat him. And so he therefore came back determined to kill the fox. But the latter pleaded, "It's no fault of mine that you were beaten, but they have a grudge against your father, who once helped them in preparing their banquet and then consumed all the choice bits." And the wolf says, "Was I beaten for the wrong done to my father?" cries the indignant wolf. "Yes," said the fox, "for the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are blunted." It's basically saying the exact opposite of what Ezekiel is saying. Basically, yeah. The first part of this parable is the fox tricks the wolf into going to join the Jews' Shabbat banquet, and the Jews scare him off. And it turns out that his wolfy ancestor had been a very poor guest and helped the Jews prepare a Shabbat banquet in the past, but ate all the good parts.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. So not in line with God's.
No, I think that's at least in this part, it's part of the fox's foxiness, is that it's using these verses out of context.
I see. Okay.
To say the opposite of what they're really saying, which is, I mean, I guess the fox was the villain in the fish story too, or not really the villain, but it was the fox. It was the trickstery fox that we expect, which I don't know how foxes got this reputation of being tricksters, because I've only seen a few foxes in my life, but they were just kind of chilling. I mean, I know they eat poultry, they steal poultry from farms, but like a lot of creatures do that.
Yeah, I think there's some weird uncomfortable connections between the tricksiness of foxes and like also the weird like sexual connotations of foxes, like something about danger and tricksiness and sexuality and
right. The fox represents the deviant other. So foxes are queer is what we're saying. Is that foxes are the queers of the animal kingdom.
That is definitely what you're saying.
Unequivocally and without any further context. However, the fox continued, "Come with me and I will supply you with abundant food." And he led him to a well, which had a beam across it, and from which either end hung a rope with a bucket attached.
Fox
entered the upper bucket and descended into the well, while the lower one was drawn up. The wolf said, "Where are you going?" The fox pointed to the cheese-like reflection of the moon in the water and said, "Here is plenty of meat and cheese. Get into the other bucket and come down at once." And the wolf did so, and as he descended, the fox was drawn up. The wolf said, "How am I to get out?" demanded the wolf. "Ah," said the fox, "the righteous is delivered out of trouble and the wicked cometh in his stead. Is it not written, just balances, just weights?" Basically, like, you're fucked.
Oh, my God.
Like, you must be the wicked one that God is talking about, because you are in my stead in the bottom of the well. So apparently, this is like part of what's interesting about this. I mean, again, it's not really, I didn't bring this because I have a big plan of how to reveal that it's actually applicable to all of our lives and full of moral fiber. But part of what's interesting about it is just like, why might a parable like this have been a third of Rebbe Meir's lecture on any given day? If I went to my Talmud class and for a third of the class, the teacher was just like, "Okay, so once there was a fox."
Yeah.
I would be like, what?
Yeah. What's going on here? It is weird. It is weird. I don't know what the lesson here is. It's just like, avoid sexually attractive people is kind of my take.
No problem. I guess I can see part of the teaching mechanism to be like cautioning you in how you're using textual interpretations. Like the fox is an example, right, of someone who overreads the text who uses the text as a weapon, which I can see being a pretty valuable moral lesson. The world is full of people who use our texts for wicked, even less foxy purposes.
Right. It's a bad faith argument. Yeah. Kind of a condemnation.
So maybe the fox is sort of like representing the Talmud scholar who's gone a little bit too far here.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's not even about going too far. It's about like the fox's agenda is purely selfish.
Right.
I don't know exactly what it is, because rabbis are tricky all the time. Even in Talmud, like Honi Hama'agel has this whole thing where he tricks God into giving good rain to the town where he is. But the fox's tricksfulness is purely selfish always. So maybe that's what's up with the fox. And again, this sort of like going back to the first fox episode we ever had, where Rabbi Akiva sees a fox coming out of the ruins of the temple and everyone else is upset about this and Rabbi Akiva laughs, sort of like solidifies the symbol of wickedness that is the fox. This is not just any wild animal coming out of the temple, it's sort of the symbol of selfishness and wickedness and like avarice.
But we want to hear about the fox, you know? It's like we want more fox stories, right?
Right. We're captivated by Fox News.
I think it's very similar to like the sexy werewolf.
Yeah.
I think there's a connection.
There are some sexy werewolves out there.
This is like the primordial sexy bad boy archetype.
Right. Are you Team Akiva or Team Jacob?
Yeah. Yes. I think there's a I think there's a through line here.
There's no Team Edward in the Torah.
No.
And you can take that to the bank.
No, we're not Team Edward on this pod. We are not.
Not really Team Jacob either. I guess we're Team Fox.
We're Team Renesmee. We just want her to have a good life. That's all.
Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, that's the parable about the fox that I brought today. I hope to find this other parable for my next fox episode about, well, I guess this one actually covered all three, right? We had the grapes in the beginning, and then we had just balances, and the righteous is delivered out of trouble. So this one story contained like the whole parable on all of these verses.
But apparently there are two more parables, right?
Right. There's three that we have, says Rabbi Yochanan. So hopefully I'll find those, or I'll find other things about foxes. Surely there must be more, since they are quite a evocative symbol.
Yeah, you know, I don't usually think about foxes walking around like desert dry areas and like.
But what about a desert fox?
But you know, one time I was on the Cape and I did see a fox on the sand dunes.
Right, like, well, look at this little baby. For context, listeners, I'm now screen sharing Michael Google image results of a fennec fox.
Oh.
That's a desert fox.
Oh my god, it's ears.
Isn't it cute?
Yeah, this fox has ears the size of the rest of its body.
Is the fennec fox really a fox? Suspiciously cute.
Oh yeah.
Fennec foxes are tricksters, confirmed. I don't know, do foxes come up in the Torah at all? This is another question for me to research for fox episode reasons. I can't think of any fox stories in the Torah, but maybe there's fox fans out there who can tell me about the foxes I've forgotten about.
Why are you so into foxes, Hava?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily so into foxes, but I found the, you know, the first story with the fox coming out of the temple is like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Second story, fox and the fish, it's like, okay, this is now two times foxes have come up. Like, what is up with the Jewish cultural association with foxes? Also, for a pretty significant period of my life, before I reconnected with Judaism as an adult, I was pretty serious Zen Buddhist, and a lot of Buddhist parables involve foxes in their tellings. Like, there's a really famous one from this collection of Zen parables about a priest who's reincarnated as a fox for 1,000 lifetimes because he answered a question from his teacher wrong.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
It's sort of about challenging assumptions about foxes and right and wrong. I think that's what inspired me to bring the Rabbi Akiva fox episode, is I was thinking about that parable from that collection, The Gateless Gate, because in the Rabbi Akiva story, the fox is coming out of the temple. In the Zen parable, the priest like comes into the temple as a fox to sort of like seek redemption, or to like seek escape from his cycle of being reincarnated as a fox. So it's like, oh, this is weird that there's like these two stories of temples and foxes incongruously mixing. Like, let's make an episode on that. That's so really the weird confluence of those two things was the beginning of it all.
Hmm. Why are we into foxes? Why are foxes appealing symbolically? Interesting. Interesting, Hava.
Yep. That's what I do. I try to provide what's interesting. I was just thinking as we were starting the show, and as I was talking about how I fit the texts into this show that I can't fit anywhere else in my life, that the more relaxed I get about making this show and just doing what I want to on it instead of thinking about engagement, paradoxically, the closer I feel to our listeners.
Oh.
Because I just feel like I'm just like sharing what I like with them instead of sort of like doing this weird game of like maximizing listenership, you know? I'm just like experiencing our listeners more as people who are in the room for the conversation rather than like a target.
Yeah.
Anyway, fun meta pod thoughts.
Should I include that?
Yeah, include it. Include it.
Okay.
It'll be great for engagement.
Oh my God.
Anywho, that is the news from Lake Wobegon,
foxes
are tricky. I don't know. I can't do the whole Lake
Wobegon. He was canceled.
Oh, was he canceled?
Oh, yeah.
I'm Googling Garrison Keillor canceled.
Years ago.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Well, I said it, you know, keep it in the show, but now I know.
Yeah, now you know.
Bummer sauce. Anyway,
a big fan.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I was like a Garrison Keillor, like keeping track of his. That's how little I was keeping track of his life. Is that I didn't know. I just grew up listening to Prairie Home Companion. So.
Oh my god, I hated that show. Continue.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, but it's like ingrained into my soul. The number of hours it was played in the car.
It's like self-congratulatory boomer. Yeah. Nonsense. But anyway.
Anywho, Shell Mala signups are still ongoing for Sacred Wiggles, our class on all of the somatic silliness that happens in Jewish prayer. So I'll pop a sign up link for that in the chat. You definitely won't want to miss it. Friend of the show, friend of mine, Robin Banerjee will be teaching. I will continue to bring Fox stories. Michael will continue to bring Michael nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And we will continue to amuse you to the best of our ability. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov. We'll be right back.